From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, it's called The Supernatural with Whitley Strieber and Jeffrey Kripal. I'm looking forward to that. Three special hours with Whitley. Happy 25th anniversary to Michael Zwerdling's purchase of KSCO in Santa Cruz, California, 25 years ago. I've got to say something about Mr. Zwerdling. Local ownership of a radio station at its best. He gets involved with the community. He presents programs geared toward the people in the Santa Cruz area, and he's intricately involved in it himself. As a matter of fact, he has his own Saturday show where people call in and just air their feelings about the subjects that he's talking about. Truly amazing. It's like radio used to be. And congratulations, Michael. 25 years of ownership. And I wish you another 25 more. And thank you for carrying Coast to Coast on your station. Here's what's happening. The World Health Organization has declared a global emergency over the explosive spread of the Zika virus, which has been linked to birth defects in the Americas, calling it an extraordinary event that poses a public health threat to other parts of the world. A UN agency took the rare step despite a lack of definitive evidence, proving that the mosquito-borne virus is causing a surge in babies born with birth defects and abnormally small heads in Brazil, following an outbreak a few years ago in the French Polynesia area. There are a few of the cases in the United States. And was Zika caused by the release of genetically modified mosquitoes in Brazil? Back in 2012, they created a biotech mosquito to combat the spread of dengue fever and other diseases related to the general population of Brazil. Could it have something to do with Zika now? They're beginning to wonder. Kristen Weil, of course, author and researcher. We're bringing him in on this story to get his thoughts and reaction. Kristen, what do you think of this?
Well, you know, George, it was discovered in Uganda in 1947. That was the first time they found it by accident while they were looking for something to help them with yellow fever, because this is another mosquito-borne disease like West Nile virus or malaria. Mm-hmm. Yellow fever. Now, the World Health Organization has just announced that 200 million people worldwide could be affected with this virus. But, George, you and I spent a lot of time researching and reporting on the Ebola hemorrhagic virus a year ago. And the numbers that they predicted, the amount of people, the numbers of people that would die from Ebola were absolutely outstanding. I mean, they were frightening. And last month, the WHO, the World Health Organization, reported that after all this time, 11,300 people worldwide had died. Now, that's too many in itself, but the predictions were so much greater than 11,300. And in Guyana, it is now totally contained. Now, fortunately, the reported symptoms for Zika are very mild, and 89% of the people don't even know that they are impacted. But the very real concern, the imminent threat, is that this virus impacts pregnant women, particularly those living in Central or South America.
The pictures of the babies were just horrible, Christian.
And you know what? You have a lifetime. They're mentally impaired for a lifetime, and it's incredible. They don't look good to see those at all. It's depressing to see it, and it's very emotional.
Well, what do we do about it? What do they do about it?
Well, they are, first of all, warning women from the United States, if they're pregnant, to think very seriously about traveling to Central or South America. You mentioned Brazil. Yeah, Brazil reported 4,000 such cases. Of encephaly, and that's the name of the disease. So it is wise, I would think, to question if you want to travel to South America, Central America, while pregnant.
Christian, we knew that this was going to be a problem when this story started leaking out several weeks ago. So I want you to keep watching that. Christian's website, by the way, myheartbook.com. In a moment, Dr. Gary Ridenour joins us for the hour as we talk about this as well. This is a big story, everybody, a big story. The E. coli outbreak that sickened more than 50 Chipotle Mexican Grill customers in 9 states last year is expected to be declared over now. The investigators haven't been able to pinpoint the ingredient responsible for the contamination. Well, here we go with the presidential elections and the nominations. Texas Senator Ted Cruz has won the Iowa Republican caucuses Monday night, beating frontrunner Donald Trump in a vital victory that could shake up the primary race. What's even more important is that Marco Rubio was right beneath Trump, almost beat him too. That's an amazing story. As far as Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders, Hillary is winning, but it's neck and neck. It is so close. Still a few little voting areas to report. So I'm not sure we can really call it yet. They're saying that Hillary's going to win it, but it's pretty close. So we're going to check in with online columnist Dr. John Curtis for his analysis, first on the Republican end and then the Democratic. Go ahead, John.
Okay. Well, I mean, Cruz winning it is a bit of a Pyrrhic victory. We know that in 2008, Huckabee won it and didn't go on to do much. And in 2012, Rick Santorum won it. So the fact that you win Iowa doesn't necessarily translate. It's certainly a plus for his campaign. Remember, he had a very strong ground game there in the precincts. They had lots of people packed in and plenty of preparation. The worry for Trump was all along he didn't have much of a ground game. Plus the fact that Iowa, as most people know, is an evangelical area, and you know, the quote New York City values of Trump really didn't translate all that well in Iowa. The fact that this guy won 24% and came in second is unbelievable. Now, it's being spun that, oh, well, Trump is not a loser. He didn't win this. Well, he wasn't really expected to win this. He wasn't even expected to place in this based on the fact that this is a value state. So I would say the biggest winner in this primary is really Rubio, shooting it's a shot across the bow to the Cruz campaign that I'm on your heels right now, and then heading into New Hampshire, which is just a week away, I think that, you know, he's going to have some momentum. But I do think that Trump can rebound from this very well. He's got a huge lead in a very independent state of New Hampshire, and I think that, you know, he's not going to have too much trouble winning it.
Lots going to happen there. And then in the Democrats, of course, Hillary Clinton squeaking ahead of Sanders, but it's really close there.
Well, it's basically a dead heat, and it's a huge victory for the Sanders campaign. I mean, this guy started from nothing. I mean, he's receiving donations that average $27. He's talking about these really radical socialist kind of ideas to people, which are, you know, the single payer healthcare system, paying for college education, family leave, all the kind of stuff that you would expect from somebody extremely liberal. But he almost beat Hillary Clinton. In fact, he may take an equal share of the delegates out of Iowa. So I would say, you know, that this is a huge victory for the Sanders campaign. And believe me, Hillary is running way behind right now in New Hampshire. So things can turn very strongly. Although the way forward for Sanders, a lot of people want to see how he does in the South. But, George, he has a message that is resonating with young people.
Yes, he does.
Who are really struggling right now in this economy, who are buried in college debt, who don't know what the future holds in store for them. And Sanders has touched on this nerve about this billionaire class and Wall Street super PACs, the fixed economy, the rigged Wall Street. And I think it's really hitting a nerve with a lot of people.
I think so, too. John, thank you. His website, onlinecolumnist.com. A survivor hidden in a tree says he watched Boko Haram extremists firebomb huts and heard the screams of children burning to death among 86 people who died in the latest attack by Nigeria's homegrown Islamic extremists. Why the hate? Why does it continue? Here's Jerry Corsi, who writes, of course, for WND.com. Jerry, the hate just doesn't go away.
It doesn't, George. And these attacks by this Boko Haram group in Nigeria were horrific. I mean, burning children and basically getting them in enclosed counters in huts and places where they lived and then burning these down. This is what the Islamic extremists, this Boko Haram group, has done. Also a notorious group for putting young girls into sex slavery.
Jeez.
I mean, these are horrific groups, like ISIS, which have almost no limit to their violence and terror. It's more than frightening to consider the kind of violence these kind of groups are capable of doing, George.
Is anybody trying to stop these groups, Jerry?
Well, there's been efforts to, I mean, you've got Iran, who is, you know, Shiite, fighting against ISIS and some of these other groups like Boko Haram, which are mostly Sunni groups. But it's really an internecine within Islam fight. And while Russia's intervened and tried to attack ISIS, we've been attacking ISIS. It's going to take a major concerted effort, probably involving ground troops. And certainly the United States has no enthusiasm to go back to a major ground war in places like Iraq, where we've already been. This is spreading all through the Middle East. ISIS is also now in Libya with very strong holds and footholds in Libya. The expanding power of these really radical Islamic groups is frightening, and it's partly responsible for the huge number of refugees fleeing the Middle East. The Middle East right now is a very violent place, and very difficult to know exactly how to enter effectively to counter.
Violence everywhere. Jerry, thanks for your report. Now, you've heard of frustrated passengers coming to blows, almost fighting, sometimes fighting on flights, right, on plane flights. What about flight attendants? It happened on a flight from Los Angeles to Minneapolis. Two female flight attendants got into a brawl. A third woman, who was a passenger, tried to break up the fight. That didn't work. The pilot got so fed up, he landed and had the flight attendants tossed off. And then a huge apology from the airline, huge apology to everybody who was on board that flight. I don't know if they gave them free tickets or what, but they should have. Yahoo plans to cut 15% of its workforce. That is huge. That's 1,600 jobs. And closing several of its business units there. Authorities in Australia are searching for a driver who ran down and killed 17 kangaroos along a stretch of road where the creatures are known to feed at night. Jeez. And a number of people have been injured during a series of vampire-like biting attacks on New Zealand's North Island. Over the past couple days, a woman has been accused of biting a man's neck so hard her teeth cut through an artery. Another woman was arrested after chomping on a woman's ear. What's happening there? And in a moment, Dr. Gary Ridenour joins us as we talk more about the Zika virus here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you tonight. Dr. Gary Ridenour attended Hiram College, attended medical school in Guadalajara, Mexico, did his internship in Saskatchewan, and then moved on to St. Louis for a residency in internal medicine. He is the author of the book Pandemic, and we, of course, turn to him for many of these breaking medical stories about disease and virus. And, Gary, I think we have a doozy with the Zika outbreak, don't we?
Yeah, here we go again. And Brazil is saying that the 1.5 million cases they have is being blamed on a visitor coming to the World Cup games in 2014 and bringing the virus with him and the mosquito biting and then spreading it through the country, which Jeez. Is really kind of stretching it a little bit. But the rate at which it's spreading is scary because of the fact that the mosquito, Anopheles aegypti, likes to live in urban areas. It likes to live in your house. It needs little water to lay eggs. And the biggest thing is, and you'll like this, it's a daytime mosquito.
Well, now, what is a daytime mosquito?
Well, most mosquitoes fly around at night
yeah.
and bite you. This mosquito flies around during the daytime.
Now, there is some talk, too, that this mosquito may have been genetically modified in order to fight the dengue fever that was all over the place out there. What do you think of that?
That is a possibility, because the stuff coming out of Brazil is, you know, confusing. They'll say one thing, and then somebody else will say another thing, and they're, you know, blaming that it was brought in from another country and thing. And, you know, I think this might have been a homegrown mistake.
Oh, my God. So this means that they may have created a powerful mosquito that may be impossible, Gary, to eradicate.
It's true, and it's hard to find them, because they can get into your house, and you've got a flower pot, and then you've got a little pan underneath to catch the water that goes through the flower pot. That mosquito will lay his eggs right in that.
Okay, Gary, we now have so many pregnant women in this country panicking, scared to death over this situation. Many of us have seen the pictures of these little babies from Brazil who have been born with these brain defects, and it's very sad. I mean, extremely sad. But you've got pregnant women now who are panicking that if they get bitten by a mosquito, are they going to come down with the Zika virus? What do they do?
Well, first off, if you get bitten, the chances are going to be about 20% that you will get the virus. If you come up positive, you probably get to your doctor and start getting ultrasounds of the baby to see that its head and brain development is coming along okay. Most of these children that have been affected not only have small malformed skulls, but they have very little brain tissue. So, and they're severely retarded.
And, you know, people are saying abort the child. My God, what's going to happen here?
There's a perfect question. In Latin America, that'll never happen because they're Catholic countries. You know, and a lot of these children are stillborn, and most of them require 24/7 care, and will not live very long. I mean, a lot of them have to be institutionalized because, you know, they're not really there at all.
Well, now we know how both of us feel about vaccinations. And so the WHO, the World Health Organization, is talking about vaccines that they could be 10 years away. They said there's no known cure for this.
Oh, yeah. Their health emergency that they put out had no plan to it. They said, we're declaring a health emergency. And you're right, a vaccine could be 5 to 10 years off. They're still trying to work on an Ebola vaccine, and that's not working. And if I'm a pregnant woman, am I going to get a somewhat experimental vaccine to see if it'll protect me from this virus? I don't know. I think I wouldn't do it.
Health officials say it could be 6 to 9 months before science even proves or disproves any connection between the virus and the babies born in Brazil or elsewhere with abnormally small heads. But I got to assume that these mosquitoes are the cause of this, don't you?
Oh, yes, they're definitely the carriers. And they also, by the way, carry dengue fever, which is now in Hawaii. And they've had a few hundred cases of that in Hawaii by the same mosquito. Besides the damage to the children, adults can get something called Guillain-Barré syndrome. And it's your immune system attacks your nervous system.
And your muscles, right?
Yeah, and suddenly you become more and more paralyzed, and you can stay in that form of paralysis for 2 to 3 years or may die from pneumonia or something else in the meantime. But you're in an electric wheelchair, and you can barely move your fingers.
Are you afraid of this virus?
I am to the fact of where it will be spreading into, which is probably get into the south where there's lots of standing water and things. It's going to be hard to prevent it spread around the world, and we don't know if it's you know, is it going to mutate? yet? Is it going to do something else that we don't know?
All right, stay with us, Gary. We're going to open up the phone lines for people concerned about the Zika virus. We're going to take some phone calls next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, our special guest this hour, Dr. Gary Ridenour, who has done some incredible work for us, of course, author of Pandemic. Gary, do you see this, the Zika virus, as spreading to become a pandemic?
Well, yes, because one of the problems is that the Rio Carnival just started in Brazil. So people from all over the world are down at Carnival and will pick up the Zika virus. Number two, the Olympics are supposed to be down there this summer. And this is going to be a disaster for the Olympics. But with the Carnival alone, this virus is going to go all over the place.
And you think it started primarily how?
The virus was identified in 1947 and hadn't done too much. And then it looks like it somehow mutated. But, you know, that kind of flop of the mosquito trials in Brazil may have been a factor that allowed this virus to become very adaptable and be able to travel very, you know, fast around the area.
Doctor, why does it seem that these viruses just seem to pop up? I mean, this was a non-story a month ago, and then all of a sudden, bang, I saw it and said, there might be something to this, and then it just ran like wildfire.
Well, you know, it could be, you know, we could always blame global warming. World economy has gone down, so public health practices have gone down. Money for medical research has gone, so people are not looking around. Dr. Osterholm said that they were kind of looking at this virus 2 years ago, and now we have to play catch-up to it.
We're going to take your phone calls for the rest of this hour with Dr. Gary Ridenour about this virus, the Zika virus, which has a lot of people panicking about its potential, primarily because of the possibility. And I say possibility because science is saying we're not quite so sure it has anything to do with brain damage in children, these infected mosquitoes, but we're not so sure it isn't, to be sure. But people are panicking, and I guess the important thing there, Gary, is not to panic.
No, you just have to wait and see what's going to happen. We have to remember that right now in Brazil, it's summertime, so the virus, the mosquitoes are really running around out there, and it's wintertime up here. So we have to see when our spring comes and we start to warm up whether the mosquitoes will make it into our country or not.
Let's go to Brenda in New Mexico, west of the Rockies, to get us started here. Hi, Brenda.
Hi, folks. Thank you so much
sure
for taking
thing.
My call.
Sure thing.
I have three comments and then my question.
Okay.
What the CDC has on their website is that there were more people that were affected by this mosquito last year, between 30 to 50. There are two cases where it was actually, they could document it was sexually transmitted as a carrier, and you mm-hmm. do not have to test positive to have it. Sometimes it won't show up in your blood. And number three, the Olympics are going to be held in Brazil.
That's right.
And that should be very interesting there. My question is, if this was a genetically modified mosquito or not, can we make a genetically modified mosquito to eradicate just like they did with the killer bees? Is that a possibility?
That's a good idea. I was thinking about that tonight. And one way to get around it is to create sterile Anopheles mosquito females, and it's easy to grow the sterile females and then let them loose. They will breed with the males and there will be no offspring.
Boy, I think we're just playing around with Mother Nature way too much, Gary.
I know.
My God. What happens if a bird eats an infected mosquito? Because that's what birds do. They eat these things.
It seems like their digestive system is pretty good for not picking up the virus, but I got to step back again that, you know, we've had H1N1, infect other animals when they ate dead birds and things. So it's you know, it's very iffy. The biggest problem right now is that, you know, we're out here in the woods and we have no idea what we're doing at this point.
Let's go to San Francisco. Cheryl's with us, first-time caller. Hi, Cheryl. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you?
Sure.
Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering, about 10 years ago, I had a baby and I was diagnosed with cytomegalovirus. And the same thing happened to the baby. There was very little brain matter. It was flat.
Oh,
the head was small. And I'm wondering if this Zika virus has any correlation to the cytomegalovirus.
What do you think, Gary? And Cheryl, I shudder to ask, but the baby?
I lost the baby, you know, because they have no function, you know, they're not able to breathe.
Right.
or blink. So we lost the baby. But I actually did, we tried to do a television show then, the first reality show on cytomegalovirus, you know, to see if women should be tested for it. So when I heard about the Zika virus, I was, you know, kind of shuddered and thought, is there any correlation between, you know, is something being missed there or something? Is it in line with the same thing, or are they definitively?
That's worth bringing up. Gary, what do you think?
Cytomegalovirus is a different virus family. However, viruses tend to do the same thing, which is infect a cell and then hijack the DNA in the cell and replicate them off in huge numbers. So the Zika may be doing this in neurological tissue, and the cytomegalo may have been doing it also. So it's you know, it's coincidental, but it's what the virus does is that it infects those cells and blows them apart, and then gets to more cells and blows them apart. So it's kind of a common thing among viruses to you know, act this way.
Gary, why in God's name do we have viruses on this planet in the first place?
Well, I think they were here before us. The record, you know, the fossil record of 800 million years back show that there were viruses already here. And they're small, and they have very little genetic material, and it was just, you know, maybe one of Mother Nature's experiments in you know, the great mystery of life.
I mean, we get mosquitoes here in the United States. There are a few of these cases here, the Zika cases in the United States, but we get mosquitoes too.
We do, and the anopheles is not too well seen here because of the fact of weather and you know, birds eating them, so on and so forth. But you know, things, we know that in evolution things change, and sometimes very rapidly. So I mean, right now H6N9 is killing people in China. That's one virus. H7N8 is in Minnesota, and it's very pathogenic, and is in cows right now. And it's a problem also of we're overpopulating, and people can travel with the virus, you know, and be in China, and 2 days later they're in New York City.
You know, they tried to play around with the genetically modified mosquitoes so that they would die off quicker, to minimize, of course, the dengue, as we've been talking about. Obviously, something backfired here.
That's possible. And, you know, if you're trying to do something to take out a species, nature will find a way to fix it.
Let's go to Bill in Hastings, Florida now. Thanks for calling, Bill. You're up with us.
Hi.
Hi, Bill.
You actually just brought up the exact point I was about to raise. Why don't they genetically modify these mosquitoes to cause sterility and release them into the wild, and hopefully they could reduce the population of the mosquitoes that cause this virus?
It's a possibility. You also have to look at the rest of the environment and the impact it might have on the birds and that eat those mosquitoes and the fish that eat the larva and so on and so forth, and how much of an environmental impact you'll have by sterilizing the mosquitoes, and or could it possibly spread off to another branch of mosquito and sterilize them also?
Those who were opposed to the genetically modifying of the mosquitoes said that further studies were needed on the potential consequences. Obviously, they didn't do that, Gary.
Oh, no, look at Ebola. I mean, everybody just sat back and just watched Ebola just roar away. And they talked about vaccines and everything. And yesterday, there's a couple new Ebola cases have shown up in, I think, Guyana. So it's, when you talk about a vaccine, a lot of people jump on board and go, yeah, let's get a vaccine, because there's a lot of money in making a vaccine.
No, there sure is. Now, somebody brought up something about the Olympics, and you did too.
Yeah.
What if, let's throw the conspiracy hat in the ring here for a moment, what if this has been created to get the Olympics out of Brazil into a different country? There's a lot of money to be made here.
Well, the Olympic Committee said that no matter what, they're going to have it there. The damage, though, is that Brazil financially is on the ropes right now, and this was going to be a big boon for them. And
it's a black eye now.
Oh, no, it's going to be a financial disaster for these people. So, somebody could have done this with the intent of, dropping Brazil down, causing, political unrest, rioting, mass migrations out of the country. Just unbelievable things would happen.
Off to Coronado, California, we go now with Annie, first-time caller. Hi, Annie, go ahead. Annie, with us? Nope, I guess not. Good try. Let's try Tom in the Bronx, east of the Rockies. Go ahead,
hey,
Tom.
I'd like to say, George, and your guest, there's a snail darter fish. It's a walking fish out in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
It's little. And I wonder if they introduced that fish to like places like Florida, other places with swampy areas, would they be good to eat the mosquito larva?
Well, that would be interesting. Something's got to be done in order to eat that mosquito larva, which, of course, are popped in ponds, aren't they, Gary, most of the time?
Well, and unfortunately, like I said before, is that these are house mosquitoes. I mean, they like living in your house and around your house in urban areas. They don't live out in the woods in big lakes and things like that. You get a tin can with a little bit of water in it in your backyard, and this mosquito's going to drop its eggs in there.
The company that makes Off is going to make a fortune in Brazil.
They will, and there's also a chemical coming out that you'll be able to wear chemically treated clothes, which puts out a repellent all the time.
Well, that's pretty novel, it is. Gary, you've looked at a number of viruses that have popped. We've talked about them on the program. SARS, you name it, we've looked at it. How would you rate Zika compared to all these others, including Ebola, where 11,000 people have died in Africa already?
Well, one, the death rate in Zika is low, so that's one good thing for it. However, when you start talking about a virus that's deforming, babies and scaring young families, it makes it a significant problem because people are afraid of the next thing, which is that it may actually mutate some more.
Yes.
And every time it gets into a pregnant woman, you have a dead baby.
Its mutation days are far from over.
Oh, it is, and the vaccine days are way down the road.
Let's squeeze Ted in Texas in for a quick question. Go ahead, Ted.
Sir, George, are you familiar with a dragonfly?
Yes, sir.
Okay, their basic diet is mosquitoes.
Right.
So if it feeds on mosquitoes and birds feed on dragonflies, what's the progression factor on the influx of the virus?
Well, I don't think they have enough dragonflies in Brazil, Mr. Ridenour, to do the job.
There must be some form of a dragonfly in Brazil, but again, I have to emphasize is that these darn mosquitoes are not out where the dragonflies are. They're in and around your house and in your backyard, and it's kind of hard to get a dragonfly to come into the neighborhood.
Gary, I suspect this virus is not going to go away overnight, so we're going to continue chatting with you about that in the days and weeks ahead, okay?
All right, thank you.
All right. Dr. Gary Ridenour, again, his book is called Pandemic, his website, pandemicdirect.com. In a moment, Whitley Strieber joins me and Jeffrey Kripal. We're going to be talking about their latest work called The Supernatural, two words. That's interesting all by itself.